Okay, good morning. This week we are learning Sukkah Daf Ches. Masechet Sukkah is sponsored by Yitz Weiss, CPA. Shake things up a bit this tax season. As well as the breakfast is sponsored by Bagel Munch. As always, Baruch Hashem. So we are learning Sukkah Daf Ches. We are really going to be starting off on the bottom of Zion. Zion Amud Beis, seven lines from the bottom. And so just to take stock of where we are so far. So we've had several rules about Hilchos Sukkah so far. The first few Dapin discussed that a sukkah can't be too high, it can't be above 20 amos. Then more recently we discussed how the minimum size of the height of those walls, that it has to be at least 10 tefachim, learned from the Aron. And now we more recently discussed we're going to discuss more today, but the minimum size of a sukkah, which we had several shitos so far in terms of how big does your sukkah need to be. From smallest to largest, we have Beis Hillel, who holds that it has to be 6 by 6 tefachim. Beis Shammai, how we paskin, holds it has to be 7 by 7 tefachim. And then the biggest shir, the one who requires a larger sukkah, is shita of Rebbe. Rebbe holds it has to be 4 amos by 4 amos. That's the minimum size that your sukkah needs to be. A square sukkah would have to be 4 by 4. And today the Gemara is going to try to figure out, how do you translate that 4 by 4 measurement into a circle? Circles don't have sides. So if you want to say 4 by 4 is a minimum size of your sukkah, let's say it's a circle, how do you measure how big the minimum circle sukkah has to be? I don't know if anybody here has tried building a circular sukkah. If you have, then you probably know the answer to this question already. But this is the discussion that we're going to have today about a circular sukkah. It really continues from the end of last week's discussion, because last week we listed off 8 or so different shitos of people, of Tanaim, who held that a sukkah has to be a diras keva. And we listed different shitos. We had some we already had earlier in the Masechta. Rebbe is one of the examples. Says a 4x4 sukkah is because he holds it has to be a diras keva. And the last one on that list was the shita of the Acherim. The Acherim said that your sukkah can't be a circle because it doesn't have corners. A sukkah has to be a diras keva, therefore it can't be a circle. It has to have corners. It has to be a square. And now we're going to say that Rav Yochanan disagrees. So we're going to start with Rav Yochanan, who holds that you could have a circular sukkah. That's going to begin our discussion about whether how big a sukkah has to be if you're going to build a circular sukkah. I was thinking it's Basheret that I got this daf today, because it's going to require some simple mathematics, and I was a math major in NYU, so hopefully I'll be able to get us through it. But it's not too bad. Let's clarify a glossary of some slightly mathematical terms. The diameter of a circle. Oh, there we go. I could use my vehicle. No. I'll use my plate. The diameter of a circle is the length of a circle from one end to the other, and the circumference of the circle is the length around the circle. Anyone remember the formula? 2 pi r, which is also pi d. D is the diameter from one end to the other. How big is the circumference? It's going to be pi, which is 3.1415. I'm not one of those like math geniuses who can list off like all of pi. 3.14 times the diameter is the length of the circumference of the circle. That's going to be the bulk of the necessary mathematics for the day. We'll get into a bit more later. Anyway, so let's start from the bottom of Zion Amud Beis. We have Amar Rav Yochanan. Around 7 lines from the bottom, Amar Rav Yochanan, sukkah ha'asuya kekivshan. If you have a sukkah that's like a kivshan, like an oven, which we have a picture right next. Usually I have to send out a PDF of pictures. Our daf is going to have the pictures right on the page for us. Baruch Hashem. So we have a circle, and so you don't know what a circle looks like. Right there on your daf is a circular sukkah. That's an oven that was just like a circle. That's what we're talking about, a circular sukkah. So how big? Im yesh behekefa kidei leishev ba chaf dalid b'nei adam. If you can fit around the circle, around the circumference of the circle, 24 people, then it's going to be kasher ve'imla pisula. If you can fit 24 people sitting in that circle, a circle of 24 people, that's going to be the size required for your sukkah. And if it has less than that, it's going to be pasul. It's a weird measurement because it's not really a set. People could be different. Right? So how big is 24 people? If I said, 24 people for your sukkah, so what exactly does that measurement mean? So we're going to make an assumption right now.
But that's also huge compared to the small sukkah, which is like you can barely fit one person, maybe a chair. And
right.
Barely one person, that's going to be 24 people?
Exactly. And yeah, so it's 24 people going around the circle as opposed to inside the circle. But exactly, it's going to be a really big number, and that's going to be our problem for the first half of the daf today, is figuring out how that even works with the shitos that we listed. So Gemara says, Kiman, who is this going like? We already said there are 3 shitos about what the sukkah has to be. The smallest was 6 by 6 tefachim. The biggest, let's assume the biggest, this sounds like a big shear to the Gemara, 24 people around the circle. Let's start with the biggest shear that we got and then try to align that with Rabbi Yochanan. Biggest shear we have, as we said, is 4x4 amos. That's the shita of Rebbe. So let's try to get that to align with Rabbi Yochanan's shear of 24 people circumference. So maybe it's Karebi. The Amar Kol Sukkah She'ein Ba'arba Amos Alay Ba'Amos Pisula. So maybe it's like Rebbe who holds that you have to have a 4x4 Amos Sukkah. Maybe that's equivalent somehow to a 24 circumference circle. So Mithi, the Gemara says, how does that really work? The math doesn't work out because Gavra Ba'Amsa Yosef. We're going to have our first assumption. Let's assume that a person takes up an Amma. I don't know how much that person has to be squished together to fit into that Amma. That's our starting assumption, is that a person takes up an Amma. The Gemara elsewhere in Erevin also has such an assumption. So a person takes up an Amma. So now when Rav Yochanan said 24 person circumference, that means a 24 Amma circumference. So your circle, your sukkah, has to be 24 Amos around. That's the Shita of Rav Yochanan. So, but how does that fit with the Shita of Rebbe? Because after all, we have a rule of, as we said already, pi times the diameter is the formula for the circumference of the circle. The kol sheyesh behekefo shlosha tfachim, if a circle has three tfachim around, yeshbo rochav tefach, then it has a 1 tefach diameter. The ratio that we're going to assume is 3:1. As we said, it's really pi to 1. Pi is a bit more than 3. We're going to discuss that a bit later. But the Gemara is going to assume that it's a ratio of 3:1. So if your sukkah is 1 amma long, then the circumference around it is going to be 3 times that, is going to be a 3 amma circumference. So if Rabbi Yochanan said a 24 amma circumference, so the diameter he's assuming would be 8, that it was an 8 diameter circle, but therefore times 3 is 24 people around it. But how does that work at the Shita of Rebbe? Because according to Rebbe, Betresar Sagi. According to Rebbe, what's the shear of a sukkah? 4 amos. So he says that a square sukkah has to be from one end to the other 4 amos. So Lechora, he would say by a circle, that it has to be 4 amos long of a circle, and 4 times 3 would be a 12 amma circumference around the circle. So why does Rabbi Yochanan say it's 24 amos around your circular sukkah is the minimum amount? If we're going to follow the shita of Rebbe, who is the largest possibility that we got? Rebbe says 4 amos from one side to the other, which means 12 amos around. Why does Rabbi Yochanan say 24? That's double the minimum shear that's the starting point. So the Gemara says, Hani mili be'igula, aval beribua ba'i tve. So yes, you're right. The ratio of 3:1 is true for a circle, that from one into the other of the sukkah of the circle is 1. So you're going to need 3 times that to get around the circle for the circumference. But for a square, you need a bit more. If you look at the first diagram on the top of the two pictures on Chesem and Aleph, you see a circle, and a square around that circle is a bit larger. All those corners, those 4 corners, are the amount that the square is larger than the circle. And so for a circle to go from one end to the other, it's going to be, let's say it's 1 amma, so 3 times that is going to be around the circle. But for a square that's from one end to the other it's not going to be a 3:1 ratio. It's going to be a bit more than that because squares are larger than circles. So maybe that's how it's going to work out. Rabbi Yochanan said a number that was too large. Maybe that's because a square is really a larger shear, and so it's not going to be 12. It's going to be a bit more than a 12 amos around. So Mara says, still, it's not going to work out. Michti, kama maruba yoser al ha'igul. How much bigger is a square than a circle? I understand that squares are going to be larger than a circle because of those corners, but how much bigger is it? The Mara says, revia, which means quarter. Really, in our terminology, it means a third, meaning if you have a 12, if you have a circle is going to be 12, so a third more than that is going to be, a third of 12 is 4, so adding on an extra third would be a 16, amma, beshissar sagi. So the Gemara assumes, I guess do the math a little easier, if you have a square, which is 4x4x4x4, that's going to be 16. So now, we're at the assumption that if you have a circle, that's 4x4 amos. I understand that that's 4 amos long. I understand that that's going to be 12 amos around. But if you have to think about a square is going to be a bit more. To get around, if you take a string going around a square that's 4 amos long, that's really going to be 16. And so maybe that's what Rav Yochanan holds. Rav Yochanan is trying to figure out the minimum size of a shear for a circular sukkah. And so maybe you take the 4 amos, you take what Rebbe's sukkah, which is a square, would need to have 16 people around the square. So maybe that's what Rabbi Yochanan would hold, that therefore you would need 16 people around your sukkah, but it's still not equal to Rabbi Yochanan's number. Rabbi Yochanan said 24. So he started off with saying, Let's go straight from the beginning. Rav Yochanan said 24 people around your sukkah is a minimum amount. We said, wait a second. Rebbe is the largest shita that we know, and according to Rebbe, you should only need 12 people around your circle, around your circular sukkah. Then we said, no, Rebbe could really be a little larger than 12 because really squares are larger than circles. So maybe Rebbe's not 12, Rebbe's 16. Okay, but 16 still doesn't equal the 24 that Rav Yochanan said, so we still have to get a little closer to 24. So Gemara says now, Hani mili bi'igula denafik migo ribua. Until now, we were assuming, as we saw from the picture, we're talking about a square that's around the circle, that the circle is from inside of the square. But now let's assume, aval ribua denafik migo igula. Maybe it's like the bottom picture, that Rav Yochanan's circular sukkah, the shear for the circle, is a circle that's around the square that's 4x4 amos. And therefore, ba'itfe, mishum mursa de karnasa. As you can see, the circle in the bottom picture goes beyond the corners of the square, and therefore the circle is going to be an even bigger shear. The square we said is 16 amos around, the perimeter of the square is 16 amos, but the circle around that square is going to be even bigger. And so maybe that number of that circle around the square, which is an even bigger number, maybe that hopefully is closer to the 24 that Rav Yochanan said. The problem is that it's still not going to work out. The Gemara now says, let's just do one more background, which is the Pythagorean theorem. Anyone remember the Pythagorean theorem? A squared plus B squared equals C squared. I wish I had a triangular bagel this week. But if you have a triangle which has a right angle and then it has a hypotenuse. The hypotenuse is the diagonal. So the A squared plus B squared equals C squared means if you have, let's say you have this side of your triangle is 1 amma, and the bottom is 1 amma, so how long is the diagonal? So you take 1 squared plus this 1 squared equals 2, and then that's going to equal c squared, the squared of the hypotenuse, which would be radical 2 is the technical number it would be. That's the a squared for this line squared plus this line squared equals the diagonal, the hypotenuse squared, and that's important for us because if you look in the picture of the circle that's around the square, look at the diagonal of that square. If you go from one corner of that square to the other, that's the same thing as the length of the circle. That's the diameter of the circle. From one corner to the other corner of the square is equal to the diameter of the circle. And so that number, the diagonal of the square, which is like a hypotenuse of a triangle, is going to be important to us. So the Gemara says, so michti kol amsa beribua amsa vitrei chumshi ba'alaksona. If you have a triangle, which has, or even like for our square, but it's like, square is like two triangles. If you have a square that has one amma going on one end and one amma on the other end, how long is the diagonal? So the Gemara approximates a bit and says that it's going to be an amsa vitrei chumshi ba'alachsona. The diagonal of that square is going to be 1 2/5, which is 1.4. So that's going to be the diagonal. And so for us, we don't have a 1 amma, we don't have a triangle that's 1 by 1. We have a 4 amma by 4 amma. So you could take that diagonal that the Gemara told us of 1 2/5, you take that times 4, and so now you're going to have that diagonal 1.4 times 4 is 4 is 16, 6.8. 8.6, something like that. And then you take times 3, because b'shivsar nachi chumsha sagi. The Gemara's number is going to get to is b'shivsar nachi chumsha sagi. You're going to really get to 17 and minus a fifth, which is really 16.8 is going to be the necessary diagonal of our triangle. The circumference. Yeah, that was time 3 is the circumference. If you're going to take the diagonal, you take the a squared plus b squared equals the c squared, the diagonal of our square, which is 4x4 amos, and then you're going to take that times 3 to get the circumference of that circle that's around that square. So that gets you to 17 minus a fifth, which is going to be 16.8. And so now, if we take this third assumption, that maybe it's talking about the circle that goes around the 4x4 amos square, so that circle around the square isn't going to be 16, it's going to be 16.8. And so now, maybe that number is hopefully closer to Rav Yochanan's 24, but it's still not there because 16.8 is not 24. So again, we started off saying, Rabbi Yochanan says it has to be 24 people around your sukkah. Maybe it's like Rebbe, who's the largest possible shear that we have. First we said, wait a second, according to Rebbe, it should be a 12 amos around your sukkah. But he said, no, fine, maybe it's talking about the square around the circle, but then fine, that shouldn't be 12. That should be enough with 16. And then we said, no, maybe finance, maybe it's the circle around that square, but that's also only going to get us to 16.8. 16.8 is still not 24. So how is Rav Yochanan going to align with the Shita of Rebbe? So the Gemara says, lo duck, he was approximating. He was rounding up. And so even though really you should have a 16.8 amma around your circular sukkah, he said 24 because he was approximating. If I was going to round up 16.8, I'd probably say 17. Why would Rabbi Yochanan say 24? And ask the Gemara's question. Emor de Amrinan, lo duck. When do we say, oh, he was being imprecise? That's for Purta, if it's a small amount. But Tuva mi Amrinan lo duck, who would round up from 16.8 to 24? It makes absolutely no sense. So the Gemara says, rather, a new option, a new suggestion of how we can get Rebbe to be closer to the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan. Amalei Mar Keshisha, Breder of Chistel, Rav Ashi, Mi Svaras Gavra Be'amsa Yosef. We had initially assumed that a person takes up one Amma, but maybe that's not true. Maybe Tosa Gavri Betarti Amsa Yosef. Maybe you could really fit three people in two Ammos. We assumed you could fit three people into three Ammos, because each person takes up an Amma. But really, maybe let's say you could, maybe you could actually fit three people into two Ammos. Each person therefore takes up two-thirds of an amma, and therefore yasvi, and therefore kama havalahu. So now maybe it would be shissar. So now you would have, you'd be able to fit 16. So now if we had initially thought that Rav Yochanan says 24 people around your sukkah, so how, if that's in terms of people, what number is that in terms of amos? So we thought that that number, 24 people, means 24 amos. Each person takes up an amma. But now that each person takes up less than an amma, each person takes up only two-thirds of an amma, so 24 people doesn't equal 24 amos, it equals shissar, it equals 16 amos. So maybe that's what Rav Yochanan said, and that's pretty close. Rebbe holds 4 amos, which really means a 16.8. That was the number we got for Rebbe. That 16.8 is the required shear of your sukkah. Rav Yochanan said 24 people, which is 16.8. That's a pretty close number. So maybe that's exactly what Rav Yochanan was saying, like the Shita of Rebbe. So Gemara says, but Anan Shivsar Naki Chomsha Ba'inan, didn't Rav Yochanan say it's 17 minus the fifth, which is 16.8? 16 doesn't equal 16.8. So Gemara says, lo duck, he was being imprecise, he was rounding down, and that's fine. It was 16.8, he said 16, and so maybe that's a number we can be comfortable with. The Gemara says, no. Emer de Amrinan lo duck lechumra. You can round up and be machmir, but lekula mi Amrinan lo duck, who's going to be lekula and round down? If you go and ask Rav Yochanan, how big does my sukkah have to be? And he says, oh, 16 amos around your circular sukkah, and you do that, it would be puzzle, because it has to be actually 16.8. He rounded down for you. That's not helpful at all in halacha. We have to know, be machmir, say, oh, you need 24 people. That would be fine. You're going to for sure build a big enough sukkah. But if he says 16 and you build 16, that wouldn't be big enough. So if it's actually requires 16.8, amos around your sukkah, and you build a 16 one, why would he say 16? You can't be lo duck lekula. You're saying an incorrect psak. So now, Amar Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi, we now reach the conclusion of how we're going to make Rav Yochanan's Shita actually align with Rebbe. And we say, La'olam Gavra Ba'amsa Yosef. Really, let's assume, as we initially had assumed, that Gavra Ba'amsa Yosef, a person takes up one Amma. So when Rabbi Yochanan said 24 people around your circular sukkah, that did mean 24 Amos. And Rabbi Yochanan, Makom Gavri Lo Kachashid. So we had assumed that 24 people around your sukkah, again, the ratio we assumed is that if it's 24 around, so this 24 divided by 3 is 8, that's the diameter of such a circle, of such a circle. If it's 8 diameter, then it's 24 around. But that's assuming that the people are out, that the circle is being drawn around the people. But let's say, Makom Gavri Lo Kachashiv, each person takes up an Amma. So if you have 24 people sitting around a circle, is the rope that you're using to measure the circumference going around their backs, and therefore they're making the circle larger? Or are they holding the circle in front of them? Now it's going to be a smaller circle. So if you have 8 Ammos along, but this Amma is a guy, And that Amma is a guy. If you don't count the people, so you can subtract one from this side and one from that side, and now your 8 Amma diameter is really going to be a 6 Amma diameter. And 6, the ratio is 3 to 1. 6 times 3 would be 18. And so now, Kama Havlahu, Tamne Sari. So now maybe, according to Rav Yochanan's measurements, where he says 24 people, but not counting the people, that would mean a circle that is 18 Amos around. And that's pretty close to 16.8. The Gemara asks, but Shiv Sarnaki Chumsha Sagi, but isn't it only, don't you only really need only 16.8? Why would he say 18? So now we say, Hainu Dolodak, she was rounding up to say 18 instead of 16.8. That's a hard number to measure. Just say 18, and that's an easier number to go with. Hainu Dolodak, Ula Chumra Lodak. Right, so you should have said 17, but the math in terms of dividing by 3 and getting the ratio and telling a guy, right, 18 you can say, a diameter of 6. And then you multiply that times 3 to get to your 18. If it would be 17, it would be a little harder to do all the mathematical acrobatics to get that to align with the circle and the square. But that's a valid point. But this we're more comfortable with. It's really 16.8 amos around your circular sukkah. He said 18, he was going lachumra, and he was not being super precise. But that's okay. There are a couple of mathematical inaccuracies that the Gemara has assumed. Let's start with the most blatant one that we acknowledge, is that we assumed that kol sheyesh be'kefo shlosha tefachim yesh bo rochav tefach, that if your circle is 1 amma diameter, the circumference is going to be 3 times that. 3 times the diameter is going to be the circumference, and as you know, that's actually not true. Really, it's not 3, it's really pi, which is 3.14159, etc., etc., v'chule. So why is the Gemara being a little off in that math? Is that a problem for us to know the true number? And why didn't they just check with their, they can also use a rope? And Rashi, several times, as the Gemara makes other assumptions about measurements, many times Rashi just says, and we know this because we checked. We know this because we took a rope and we measured around, and you can see with your own eyes that it works out. So why over here didn't they just do that? And what even more strange is the Gemara in Erevin and Yadalid, when it quotes this formula of 3 to 1 ratio from circumference to diameter, the Gemara brings a pasuk from Shlomo HaMelech in Malachim Aleph, where it describes Shlomo HaMelech had built a pool, which is called the Yam Shel Shlomo. He had a pool in the Beis HaMikdash, and when it describes that, it mentions that circle had a 3 to 1 ratio around that circle, and so we have a pasuk to prove for us that a circumference, a diameter, is a 3 to 1 ratio. So why over here do we have a pasuk which tells us that this formula is true, but everywhere else we just use our own eyes and measure for ourselves how big a square is going to be when you go around the square? Tosfos Rosh over there in Erevin has a beautiful idea where he says that you're right that we're off when we're measuring our circles. That's not really a 3 to 1 ratio. Really, it's a pi to 1 ratio. But the pasuk by Shlomo HaMelech is what teaches us that when it comes to halacha, we're allowed to be off by that little bit. When it comes to halacha, to halachically measure a circle, you're not going to use pi, you're going to use 3. And so Chazal aren't off, or if they are off in terms of the math, they're off in a halakhically appropriate way. The pasuk is specifically coming to show us that when it comes to when we measure circles for halakha, we're going to use the number 3 and we're not going to use the number pi. And there's a beautiful remez to this from the Gra. The Gra points out in that pasuk by Shlomo HaMelech, so that very pasuk, which tells us that when we measure circles for halakha, we're not going to use pi, but we're going to use 3, which is a little smaller, but that's okay. That pasuk has a kriyuk siv. There's a word over there which says kav, which is kuf vav. And that word is written, it's read kuf vav, but it's written kuf vav hey. So the actual gematria of the word that we read is kuf vav is 106, but the gematria of what's actually written in the actual Tanakh is kuf vav hey is 106 plus 5 is 111. Look at the ratio of the kri to the ksiv. The ratio of kav over kava, which is 106 divided by 11, that's the exact ratio that we're off by when we measure pi as 3 instead of the actual measurement of pi. If you take 3 divided by, you can go home and take out your calculators when you get home. If you take 3 over pi, you'll get 0.954. If you take 106 over 111, which is the kriyuk siv from that very pasuk, which we learn that you're supposed to use 3 instead of pi, 106 over 111 is also 0.954. It's the exact amount that we're off when we use 3 instead of using pi. So the Gemara says that the pasuk itself is teaching us that it's okay to use 3 instead of pi, and that's perfectly acceptable for halachic purposes. It's a beautiful idea from the Gemara. The other part we were off by was when we said that if you have the Pythagorean theorem of a squared plus b squared equals c squared, that we had assumed that if you have a one amma by one amma triangle, then the diagonal is going to be, we said 1 2/5, which it's really going to be radical 2. And it's not me who figured that out, who pointed that out. Actually, Tosfos, the bottom Tosfos already points out, Eina cheshben mechuvan velo duck to ika tvei porte. It's really going to be a little more than 1 2/5. It's actually going to be a bit more. It's actually going to be radical 2. So Tosfos already has a whole proof, a mathematical proof about how really that we're off by a little bit when we make that assumption as well. But that's what the Gemara had assumed. Let's have one non-mathematical ha'ara before we keep going, because that's going to make things a lot more fun. We had mentioned one name on this daf. We had mentioned the name of Mar Kishisha. We had Mar Kishisha, brother of Chista, who was the one who had made a new assumption to help us figure out how Rabbi Yochanan could align with the Shita of Rebbe. And the name Mar Kishisha, Mar Kishisha means the older Mar. There's also other places in Shas, a Mar Yanuka. Rav Chista also had a son who was called Mar Yanuka Rav Chista, who's the younger Mar. So what's going on with these names? So Rashi and Ksuvis on Daf Pei Tesamid Beis says that Rav Chista had two sons, and they had the same name. And one was a little older, one was a little younger. So they called one the older Mar, and they called one the younger Mar. Someone wants to bring a proof from here? Anyone here wants to name two kids with the same name? So you have Rav Chista's Haskama, if you want to go that way. It's probably very confusing, but that's a funny ha'ara from this staff. Anyway, one more line of math, I promise, and then we're done. Rabbanan de Kesari. We have the second to last line from the bottom. Rabbanan de Kesari, the Amrila Dayani de Kesari, Amri. The Rabbanan, or perhaps the judges from Kesar, had the following two mathematical assumptions, one of which we already said, and one of which we suggest is not actually correct. First, Amri, the Igula de Nafik Migo Ribua Riva. If you have a square around your circle, which is the very first picture we had on the top of our page, a square around the circle, how much bigger is the square? It's going to be a quarter bigger, which as we said, in our terms, it would really be a third bigger. If you had a circle that's 12 around, then the square is going to be a third more than that. It's going to actually be 16. It's going to be a riva larger. That we're fine with. We already said that earlier. Chesem of days now, turn the page. Rivua denafik migo igula palga. The second thing that the Rabbanan from Kesari said was that a square there's a circle around your square. So then how big is the circle? It's going to be palga. The circle is going to be a bit more. So now it's the second picture we had where you have a square and you have a circle around it. So we know that the circle is going to be bigger than the square. How much bigger is that circle than the square? So we went through the whole math of the diagonal Pythagorean theorem, and it's 1 2/5. And we said it was actually, so we had said that if the square is 16, then the circle is going to be 16.8. That was our fine calculation. And over here, they say it's actually going to be palga. It's going to be a half bigger, which ends up being if the square is 16 inside, the circle is going to actually be 24, which is, it's a half of the 16 plus 8 is 24. That would have been a very easy answer for us, because if Rav Yochanan says 24, and so now if you say, oh, the square is 16, the circle around that square is 24, then we would have been close shut case. That would have been the way to align with Rebbe with Rebbe Yochanan. But velohi ta'kachazinan ta'lohavi kulei, that's just not true, because we can see with our own eyes that number is too big. If your circle is 16, if your square is 16, the circle around that is not 24. It's, as we said, it's 16.8. And so that second assumption that the Rabbanan of Kesari had is actually not correct. Adkan, math for today. Phew. Amarev Levi Mishim Rebbe Meir. Shte Sukos Shel Yotrin. If you have two, or this is like what they used to have back then, they had two Yotrim, two craftsmen who would make things, and they had two different Sukos. Zulifnim Mizu. They had one Sukkah that was like their, like where they lived the whole year on the inside. That was like where they lived, and they would also like make all their merchandise in that inner Sukkah. And then in the outer Sukkah is where they would then bring that stuff out, and then they would sell that stuff in the outer Sukkah. So they have an inner place where they live the entire year, and an outer Sukkah where they would have, where they would be sometimes to sell their stuff. So what's the halakha? Can you use those for a sukkah? So the Gemara says, ha-penimis ein a sukkah, v'chayeves b'mezuzah. The inner sukkah, the inner hut, where they live the entire year, that can't be a sukkah. Rashi explains, because they live there all year, it doesn't really feel, it's not like really sukkah dik. If they live there the entire year, it's not clear that this is really a sukkah, because that's their home all year round. So that shouldn't be used as a sukkah. It sounds like really maker din, it would work, but maybe to Rabbanan, Rashi says it wouldn't look nice, although minker milsa. So you shouldn't use the inner sukkah where they live all year as for hilchos sukkah, as your kosher sukkah, and therefore it's going to be chayav es mezuzah. It's chayav in mezuzah, because that's a real dira. That's a place where they live the entire year. It's not a sukkah, but it's going to be chayav in mezuzah. The hachitzona and the outer sukkah, the outer hut where they don't live, they just go there sometimes to sell their merchandise. So there, that's going to be sukkah. If that's going to be kosher for sukkah, because they don't live there all year round, and it's patur min mezuzah. That's going to be patur from mezuzah, because it's not really a dira. Doesn't really have the status of being a place where people live. So the outer place can be a sukkah, and the inner one cannot be a sukkah. The Gemara.
Because we're not even talking about schach over here.
Right, that's a good question about how that would work out. Okay. But yeah. Either way, the inner sukkah is no good. But yeah, you have to figure out how that's not going to be. But I think the Gemara has later on a sukkah, tachas sukkah, and that's even halakhically permissible.
Okay.
So we had just said that the outer hut that they had was could be a sukkah, and it's pater min amezuzah. And the Gemara says, why is it pater min amezuzah? V'amai, tahave chitzona kebeis shar. Let the outer hut be like the beis shar. It's like the entryway into the inner hut where they lived. And an entryway, a beis shar, is chayav in mezuzah. If you have in your house, I think this is true lemaisa. If you have a foray, a place that like you walk in and then you walk in again afterwards. That even if that inner that first step, the first door that you walk into is less than 4x4 amos, it's not technically considered a halachic dira, but it's the entryway into your house. And that's going to be chayav in mezuzah. And so similarly over here, fine, the outer sukkah is not a real place where they live. That's just where they sold their merchandise. But at least that's how they get into their inner house. That's how they get into the inner sukkah. So it should at least be chayav in mezuzah, midin being a beis shar. So Gemara answers, Mishom Dilo Kavia. Because it's not Kavua, which Rashi explains means that both of these things here are not Kavua. Right? The entryway itself isn't Kavua, but more importantly, even the house that it's an entryway to a house which itself isn't Kavua. This is a hut that this Yotzer happened to build for himself. It's not like a real house. You have an entryway to your shed. That's not going to be Chayav in Mezuzah. An entryway to your real house is going to be Chayav in Mezuzah, but an entryway to the inner sukkah, which is also not really a real Dira, that's not going to be Chayav in Mezuzah, because it's not Kavua. That's an interesting... What? The inner one needs a mezuzah because you live there. Even though it's not kavua, but you live there, so it needs a mezuzah. But the outer one's not going to be an entryway to a house because it's not an entryway to a real kavua place. So an interesting halacha l'maisa application that I saw that the Batel HaChachma, the Tshuvas of Batel Stern, he brings up maybe this should be relevant to having a mezuzah by an elevator. So an elevator, which usually or may not be 4x4 amos, depending on how fancy the elevator is, it could be a very small elevator, which is smaller than 4x4 amos. But maybe it's the entryway to every floor in the entire building. So it's definitely an entryway when you get to your second floor or to your third floor. So what shouldn't it be chayav in mezuzah midin being a beis shar? So he says, wait a second, that's not kavua because it's moving up and moving down. You're in there for like 2 seconds. So since it's not kavua, so that's so not kavua that wouldn't be considered a beis shar. That would be chayav in mezuzah. But that was an interesting application.
People have this mud room, right?
Right, exactly. Right, so I think so. I think so. I have to ask Rebecca Glasser for help us. What? Exactly. Yes, yeah, so I think so. Interesting, Shiloh, would be if you have a sukkah that like in front of your front door. So like if you have like, so our sukkahs, we don't put mezuzahs on our sukkahs. But let's say you have a sukkah, which is like the entry to your house. If like the only way to get into your house would be through your sukkah. So is your sukkah now an entryway? I don't know, people maybe have that like a side door or like from their kitchens for sure. If like outside like your... If like your porch opens up and you have like a sukkah right there, so is that like an entryway? I don't think people do that, but that would be an interesting application of this also, where your sukkah itself would be an entryway. So maybe that would be chayav in mezuzah, but I don't think so. But those are the mechanics of the halacha that we're working here with here for a beis shar. The final halacha for the day is the halachos of sukkas ganbach. Tana Rabbanan, sukkas ganbach, which is an acronym for sukkas goyim, sukkas nashim, sukkas behema, or sukkas kusim. So a sukkah that was either it was built by Goyim, or it was built for the purpose of Goyim, or for Nashim, or Behema, or Sukkas Kusin. So it's talking about like a sukkah that was built by Nashim. Behema is probably referring to a place that was built for animals, not when like monkeys were like building a sukkah for you. And sukkahs kusim, also kusim, are considered either considered goyim in certain respects. So perhaps these sukkahs, so perhaps it shouldn't be okay to live in that sukkah. But we say no, sukkah mikol makom, any of these types of sukkahs, and also sukkah mikol makom, any type of sukkah like this is going to be kosher. We're actually going to learn about next week's daf that you don't need lishma for a sukkah. A sukkah doesn't have to be built lishma. I'm building this for the sake of sukkahs this year. You can add, that's what we're talking about, sukkah yeshana, and next week's daf. There is a chumra, which Tosos points out of being mechadish badavar. You should do something new to your sukkah, which is like an extra hitter. But me'ikar adin, a sukkah does not have to be built lishma, and that's why it's okay for goyim or nashim and behema or kusim. If they would build your sukkah, they didn't do it lishma, but you don't need lishma, so that's going to be perfectly permissible. As long as the schach is done kehilchasa. My kehilchasa, what does that mean? The schach has to be kehilchasa. Amar of chista, the hu she'asa'a letzel sukkah. As long as the schach was there for the purpose of shade. It has to be there to provide shade for your sukkah. And as long as it's there for the purposes of providing shade, and not like a place where you're going to actually be living or like storing things, but it's actually there to provide shade and to have some formative purpose, so that's going to be okay. But it doesn't have to be the shema for sukkah. Is, this has to be for the purpose of shade. So become makom la asuye mai. If you look at our list, we said sukkas goyim, nashim, behema, kusim, and also sukkah mikol makom. And other types of sukkas also are going to be totally kosher. So what's that coming to include? Let me call makom la asuye mai. So Gemara says la asuye sukkas rakbash. That's to include these other types of sukkos, which are also going to be kosher, which we're going to now explain as follows. Ditana rabbanan, as it says that they taught the following, sukkas rakbash, which is sukkas roim, a sukkah for a shepherd, or sukkas kayot, for people who would watch figs, and sukkas borgenin, which we had earlier, which is people who would guard the shomrim, who would guard the fields, and sukkas shomre peros, sukkah for people who were watching the fruits. All of these are very temporary. They would, the shepherd would put his sukkah down over here, he'd be here for a few days, and he'd move it somewhere else. And the people watching the fruit wouldn't be there the whole time. These are very temporary, fleeting sukkos, so you'd think maybe it's not considered a good sukkah. But we say no, sukkah mikamakam, any of these sukkos, and also any type of sukkah mikol makom is going to be kasher. Ubilvad shetehei misukaches kehilchasa, as long as it's done appropriately, my kehilchasa, amar av chista v'husha asa, let's say a sukkah, as we had said, it has to be there for shade purposes. As long as it's there for shade purposes, that's going to be, and it provides enough shade, that's going to be considered a kasher sukkah, even though it was made for a shepherd. So we'll clarify. And mikol makom la asuye mai. So here it said sukkas rakbash and all other types of sukkos. So what are all other types of sukkos? So la asuye sukkas ganbach. They're saying, oh, it's even going to include sukkas ganbach. So we have one Tana where it says sukkas ganbach, goyim nashim behem akusim, that's all kosher. And not only that, but even the lower types of sukkas, which are sukkas rakbash for the shepherds and the shomei peros, those are also going to be okay. Even though those are a little lower madrega, those are also going to be kosher. The other Tana says sukkas rakbash are totally kosher. And even the lower level sukkas that are sukkas ganbach made by goyim nashim behem akusim, those are also going to be kosher. So one Tana is saying, oh, sukkas ganbach are really shouldn't be okay, but we'll let it slide. The other Tana is saying sukkas rakabah shouldn't be okay, but it's okay, we'll let it slide. So why do they want to have different perspectives over here? Hi Tana de Ganbach, Alima le Ganbach. What is the first Tana say that Ganbach is a better sukkah? Why Mishum de Kivi? Because at least those are kavua. They're built there and they're gonna stay there. As opposed to the Vakatani Mikol Makom La Asuye Rakbash Delo Kavi. And they say it's not only a sukkas gambach kacher, because those are even better, because those are really kavua, but even the sukkas rakbash, which are made for the roim, and those are going to be fleet, they're not going to be there the whole time, they're going to be moving around, and those are not kavua, those are also, even those, even rakbash is going to be kosher. And the other Tana, the high Tana, the rakbash, Alimalei Rakbash, why does he say that rakbash for roim and the kaitanim, that those are better, the bnei chiyuvininu, because at least those guys are chayiv in sukkah. It's not nashim and goyim who aren't even chayiv in the mitzvah. These are men above 13 who are chayiv in the mitzvah of sukkah, and so for them, for sure, it should be kasher. And it's tana mikol makom la asuye gambach. And he's saying, and even gambach is going to be okay. The la bnei chiyuvininu who are not chayiv in the mitzvah of sukkah, we're even going to allow their sukkah to be okay as well. So from simply reading our Gemara, so sukkas gambach, so sukkas goyim, sukkas nashim. I mean that if nashim build your sukkah, if a woman would build a sukkah, that should be totally kosher. And in other areas of halacha, with women making other mitzvah items, it gets a little more shady. The Gemara in Gittin discusses tefillin. By tefillin, there's a unique halacha where the pasuk says ukshartem uksavtem koshe yeshno bikshira yeshno biksiva. Who can write a pair of tefillin? Only someone who is chayev to wear tefillin can write tefillin, and that's going to exclude women who can't wear. They're not chayev to wear tefillin, so a woman definitely explicit Gemara can't write tefillin. Okay, fine. What about a woman tying tzitzis for you, to attach the tzitzis to the beged? So that should, presumably, our Gemara is explicit that women are allowed to make mitzvah items that they're not chayav in. So fine, tefillin is a unique pasuk which says that tefillin they can't write because they're not chayav in the mitzvah. But everything else, as our Gemara says, they're not chayav in sukkah, but they can still build a sukkah. So I would assume that even though they're not chayav to wear tzitzis, women should be able to tie tzitzis. That should be totally okay, as is clear from our Gemara. Rabbeinu Tam over there in Pesachas Gittin actually has a unique shita where he says that women cannot tie your tzitzis either. Rabbeinu Tam, women, just like they can't write tefillin, they also can't create for you a beged of tzitzis. They also can't put together your lulav. You can't be ma'agid your lulav for you. Rabbeinu Tam says, since they're not chayav in these mitzvos, they can't create those mitzvah items for you. And they're showing them asking Rabbeinu Tam, what about our Gemara? Our Gemara says that by sukkah, it's explicit that they're allowed to make your sukkah for you. Rabbeinu Tam seems to be going against an explicit Gemara that women are allowed to make a sukkah even though they're not chayav to be in sukkah. So why would they not be able to make a tzitzis even if they're not chayav to where tzitzis, they should still be able to make the mitzvah item. Several different answers that are brought to explain for Rabbeinu Tam. The Chasam Sofer says that the chiluk is that by sukkah, you don't need lishma. As we said, we're going to teach next week. You don't need the shema for a sukkah, so that they're allowed to build their sukkah. They're not chayav, but they're allowed to build it because you don't actually need the shema. But for tzitzis, we say l'shem mitzvah tzitzis for me, but when we do our tzitzis, that needs the shema, so therefore we're not going to let women do those mitzvos. Rav Moshe says a sukkah is different because a sukkah has at least like an everyday use. A sukkah, you see it, it's a hut. We know, oh, you see, sukkah means sukkahs, but it's really just a hut you can use for shade, and so they can make things that aren't like inherently mitzvah items. But if you're going to want like a lulav and tzitzis strings are uniquely mitzvah items, and so those they can't create, but they can create things that have broader purposes as well.
What about matzah?
Which is need lishma for matzah, yeah. But they're chayav in matzah. Right, so I think so. Yeah. I think it'd be okay. I don't know if they're doing that. I'm going. I guess they could, but yeah.
Right.
The pasuk says kol hatzrach.
Inside, because everybody. Right, interesting. That could be. I'm not sure if anyone brings up that idea, okay. But it could be. Shulchan Aruch paskins that Rabbeinu Tam is clearly wrong, and so women should be allowed. Just like our Gemara says, they're not chayiv in sukkah, they're allowed to build a sukkah. Shulchan Aruch says, they're not chayiv in tzitzis, but they're still allowed, a woman is still allowed to tie your tzitzis for you. But the Ramah says that yesh machmirim and tov lahachmir, you should be machmir, that women shouldn't, lechatchila, be tying tzitzis for you. A katan is also a similar conversation. A katan who's also not chayiv, so if you're going to be machmir, like the Ramah says, that you shouldn't have a woman tie your tzitzis, perhaps you should also be machmir that a katan shouldn't tie your tzitzis for you either. Mishnah Berurah says that a katan, what we assume the chatchila, is that a katan can tie his own tzitzis. He can tie tzitzis for a katan, but a katan shouldn't be tying tzitzis for a gadol. So we shouldn't be going around having a kid tie our tzitzis for us, but if you want to have your kid tie tzitzis for themselves, that we would say is okay. The Bir Halacha then asks, what about when that kid gets older? So he makes his own tzitzis. He's a 10-year-old kid, makes his own tzitzis, and now he's his bar mitzvah. Now he's a bar mitzvah boy. He's a 14-year-old, a 17-year-old guy. He's wearing tzitzis that he made when he was 13. So is he an adult who's wearing tzitzis that were made by a katan? Does he have to take off his tzitzis or not? So Bir Halacha says he doesn't have to, though. That's too much. That's considered b'diyeva. It's once you already made it when you were a kid, you can keep those tzitzis on. Mm-hmm. But that's the discussion which we have. So our Gemara says explicitly, women are allowed to make a sukkah. Perhaps there's an extra hiddur, as Yerushalmi says, v'mechadish badavar, but the Me'ikra is that they're allowed to make a sukkah, and Goyim as well can make a sukkah as well. So we started off today, we spoke about the math of the sukkah. We concluded Rav Yochanan says that your sukkah has to be 24 people around, which we said fits with the shita that's going to be 18 amos around your circle. And we had the shita of the two yotrim who have a sukkah, an inner sukkah and an outer sukkah. The outer sukkah is kosher for sukkah. And we finally concluded with the shitos of sukkahs gambach and sukkahs rakbash, the sukkah that was made for or by goyim and nashim hemakusim, or for roim kaitzanim, borganin, and shomei peros, those are all going to be kosher for a sukkah. Yeshkoch.
For or by?
Yeah.
Everybody learn it like that, or is it just make four?
So explicitly the Rishonim talk about how this Gemara relates to women making sukkah. So sukkah's ganbach, it definitely has to include the situation of women making sukkah. Behemah is where you get thrown into a loop, because behemah, they're not making your sukkah. Rabbi Yosef Engels brings a truth from Rashba, which says, no, it is referring to an animal making your sukkah for you. I guess you can train monkeys to do anything these days. So there are those who learn behemah literally means that they made it for you, but lechora, it would mean, and I think Rashi also points out, it means shel behemah, so it's for them. So I think we include both, whether it was made by them or for them. It's going to be kosher across the board.
Well, you can use the animals to help you make the sukkah.
Yeah. Yeah, they can hold it for you.
Some animals build things.
Yeah. Right, yeah, you can train it to do anything.
You can train it.
Yeah.
Just one announcement. Next week is going to be second day Yom Tov. We're not going to have Daf HaShavua.
And
then.
No
bagels. Oh, and then you can have a round matzah if you want. And then the following week, we'll have the privilege of hearing Rabbi Rothberger, who's going to be delivering the next page. We're starting a new Mishnah, Sukkah Yashana. So have a good Yom Tov, everybody.
Sure.